Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.
Deserve your glorious thunder. You said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said, that the Lamb will cover.
Everybody myself if only I could be the one to call. When you feel alone,
brother, let me be your fortress.
When the night will shine on, be the one to light the way, bring it home.
Brother, let me be your shelter, never leave you alone. I can be the one you call when you run.
And you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681. And call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
so helpless. Where did the light go? I had no hope left.
This morning, Lord, we declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Singing, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the be the center, say, Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you. Jesus.
your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. And every knee will bow, every tongue shall confess you, Jesus.
in the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry, God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
Yeah. is not clear.
Forever.
with me. When I'm in trouble, when I'm sick,
Jesus,
you see, He touched my body.
Hello?
Good evening. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I was just like, I didn't hear anything. I think, like, the music just stopped. Okay. But you can hear me, right?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you. How you doing?
Oh, good. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to open up in prayer. I don't know what happened. The music just stopped abruptly. But I'm going to proceed and open up in prayer. Is Mother on the line?
I don't know.
Hello, Mother? Mm-mm. Okay, let's go ahead. Our Father and our God, God, we love you and we praise your holy name, Lord. Lord God, there is none other before you, Lord God. You are the Alpha, you are the Omega, and we just want to glorify your name, Lord God, because you deserve all the glory and all the honor. Lord God, take away anything from us, Lord God, that is not pleasing to you, Lord God. Allow us, Lord God, to be able to open up our minds, open up our hearts, Lord God, to receive what it is that you want us to receive from this lesson. Lord God, give me the words, the right words to say, Lord God. Give me the ability, Lord God, to teach this lesson the way you want this lesson taught, Lord God. So I want to thank you and praise you for being in the midst of this lesson, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Pastor, are you on? Hello? Pastor, are you on? Are you on? Okay, so what I wanted to do is read the summary of the chapter, and then I'm going to go through that. I think we should just sort of like survey each chapter. So last week we looked at the proof that all is vanity, and that was covered in chapters 1 through 6. Where Solomon, as the preacher, describes his multiple quests for meaning and the satisfaction as he explores his vast personal resources. So what did we find was what did Solomon use as proof that all is vanity? Sister Barbara.
He said it was all like smoke. It didn't mean anything. It's all like spitting in the wind, except
how
for
did
the
he
fear
prove
of God. That's all we have, mm-hmm. The fear of God.
How did he know that?
He's done a lot of things, been a lot of places,
mm-hmm.
and experienced a lot of living. So
right.
Out of all his living, he said he's done everything that he ever thought he wanted to do. And
uh-huh.
despite all of that, it's all smoke. It's all vanity. It's all meaningless, except
yes.
your fear.
Yes, absolutely. And so now in the chapters from 7 to 12, which was our assignment to read this week,
mm-hmm.
Solomon gives counsel for living with vanity. And so it's a series of lessons on practical wisdom, which he talks about in chapter 7 through chapter 9 in verse 12. he portrays liberty. You know what liberty is? Liberty.
Liberty, freedom. Liberty is freedom.
No, levity. L-E-V-I-T-Y.
Oh, levity.
Uh-huh.
That's to rise up above something?
Yeah, that's what I thought. But it's actually making light of something that's serious.
Okay,
you
like
know,
a joke.
Somebody, right. When they don't take things seriously, they make light of everything. So he talks about the portrayal of liberty and pleasure seeking as superficial and foolish. And he says it is better to have sober depths of thought. He says wisdom and self control provide perspectives and strength in coping with life. What do you think about that? Wisdom and self control provide perspective and strength in coping with life.
Yes. I mean, it helps. If you have wisdom when things are falling apart all around you, you know, you kind of relax or sit back more knowing that God is in control and you can only do so much. So you start relying on outside of yourself, knowing that, again, God is. But it takes that wisdom. Otherwise, you panic, you freak out, you know.
Oh, please. Absolutely.
Self-control.
I agree. Self-control is easier said than done. But you're right. You can only maintain self-control by having the wisdom of God and calling on the Holy Spirit to give you that wisdom to control
that
self-control. He goes on to say that one should enjoy prosperity and consider in adversity that God made both. That one should enjoy prosperity and also consider in adversities that God made both. So the sun shines on the, you know, and I think in this part where he says, you know, the sun shines both, that we have both. We have adversities, and we have good times, and that God made both. Avoid the twin extremes of self-righteousness and immorality. Sin invades all men, and wisdom is cut short by evil death. And this was in chapter. Well, we're going to go through this. We're going to go through the chapter. So that sin invades all men. We know that all have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And wisdom is cut short by evil and death. The human mind cannot grasp the ultimate meaning. Submission to authority helps one avoid, and this is helps one avoid unnecessary hardship. But real justice is often lacking on earth. The uncertainties of life and certainty of the grave show that God's purpose and ways often cannot be grasped. One should therefore magnify opportunities while they last, because fortune can change suddenly. In verses 9 through 11, he talks about wisdom, which is the most powerful human resource. Its contrast with meaningless talk and efforts of fools. In view of the unpredictability of circumstances, wisdom is the best course to follow in order to minimize grief and misfortune. Wisdom involves discipline and diligence. The preacher offers exhortations on using life well in chapters 11, chapter 11, verse 7 through chapter 12, verse 7. Youth is too brief and precious to be squandered in foolishness or evil. A person should live well in the fullness of each day before God and acknowledge Him early in life. Boy, this is definitely something for young people to know. Unfortunately,
young and
that's
old
the point. Young and old alike, but you know, a lot of people, you know, I mean, not all, but most people finally come to Jesus in their older life. But they're like, they feel, I'm young, I'm gonna do what I want to do. Right. That's true.
Hi, good evening, Mother. How are you?
Oh, fine. How are you?
Blessed, Holy Faith. Asking about you.
Yeah. Yes, we were. So good to hear your voice. So he's saying that youth is too brief and precious to be squandered in foolishness or evil. Yeah, a person should live well in the fullness of each day before God and acknowledge Him early in life. Mm-hmm. Did you acknowledge God early? Like, around what age were you, Mother, when you acknowledged God?
Well, actually, I was very young. God showed me scriptures when I was like, I don't know, 8 years old, nine. But I really came into the Lord when I had an aunt that used to take me to church. My mother used to send me to church for Sunday school. You know, we had a church next door, and my mother used to send me over there for Sunday school, for church. And I think it was too because my mother used to kneel me down at the bed and have me pray to God. You know, that had a great impact on my life. And then when I was 17 years old, I used to go to school with this girl. Her father was a pastor.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was. I'm not gonna sit to be long.
No.
I was interested in classical music, and you know, I used to play classical. But her and I used to talk, and she said her father was looking for somebody to play for the church. And I said, I don't play any gospel music or nothing like that. No hymns or nothing. You know, I was just studying music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she introduced me to her father, and that's how I got involved in the church. You know, really involved. I mean,
how
I had
old
other
were you?
People take me. I was 17, 17 years old. Yeah.
Oh,
I got a good memory,
young.
Right?
Yeah.
I was younger than that. I'm telling you, my aunt used to carry me to church. Then my mother had me going to Sunday school, and that was before I was 17 years old. My mother used to send me to Sunday school. They had a church next door. And I used to go to that church and go to Sunday school. And it's right there on Lexington Avenue, Lexington and Troop. There was a church there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And we lived next
Sister Barbara?
Door.
Yes.
Where did you come to know the Lord?
I know I was baptized at the age of 5. I grew up in Florida. And I recall, you know, saying my prayers even before that. Now, I don't know how much Bible reading I was doing after I was baptized, but that's when I came to the knowledge of the Lord. And I used to teach Sunday school as a child.
Mm-hmm. Really? Like what age were you teaching?
Probably about 13, 14, something like that.
Okay.
And that was as I said, Central Baptist Church in Harlem. On 132nd Fifth Avenue. And off and on, I was, you know, teaching Sunday school. So it's like, I guess, full whatever, what I was asked to teach at my own church at Upper Room. The main teacher was leaving, and he passed the baton to me, came full circle. So I picked it up, and that was in 2000s. I don't remember exactly what year that started, but
right,
always been in there some kind of way, teaching or whatever.
Wow.
Could I say something? Sister Barbara, yes, upper room in Brooklyn?
Harlem, 132nd Street in Harlem and 5th Avenue.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I
Greatest
know that
Central
church.
Baptist Church. It's still there.
Greatest
we there long ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've been there. I've known people who went to that church before. And I was on the usher board.
So that was like a few doors down from us, across the street.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I didn't come to know the Lord till I was old. I mean, my grandmother raised me, and my grandmother was Catholic, but she got really mad at the Catholic Church, because we grew up in Harlem, too, and she was going to Catholic Church on 118th Street. I think that's still there, too, over by 7th Avenue, and she got sick, and the priest came to visit her. But he wouldn't give her communion because she had not been to confession. And she was so angry about that. Oh, my God. It's all we heard for years, how the Catholic Church and how she gave her money and they wouldn't come to give he wouldn't give her communion because of confession. And so I had never, you know, I never went to church. And I remember on Sundays I didn't want to go out the house, you know. And I'm like, I can't go out on Sundays because everybody was dressed up going to church. And because I wasn't going to church. And so whatever my grandmother would try to send me to the store on a Sunday, even though stores were closed back then, I don't know what, if something, every errand, it was just like I just didn't go outside on Sundays because I wasn't dressed up. I didn't have dressed up clothes to go out. So I never wanted to go out. I don't know if I wanted to go to church. I don't think so. I don't think I thought like that. But then my godmother, when I was a teenager, I know I was in junior high school, my godmother was Episcopalian, and it was an Episcopalian church on 127th Street on 5th Avenue, St. Andrew's. And my godmother said, oh, you have to go to church. So
yeah, and for that church.
Yeah, so she was taking me
never
there. You know where it is exactly. It was predominantly West. People there was mainly from the Virgin Islands because my grandmother was from St. Croix. So a lot of people there was from St. Croix or St. Thomas. It was like, you know, the congregation was from the Virgin Islands. And, you know, at that time I was going, but I felt, you know, I don't know. One day I came to school because I was really political in terms of, you know, my blackness and everything. So I go to church that one day with my, I was singing on a choir, and I went to choir rehearsal with my afro. And the choir director said, you ain't singing on Sunday with that nappy hair.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I was done after that. That was enough. Wow. The last time I stepped foot in the church. So, yeah, I hadn't been to any church until I got, you know, older. I think I was like, yeah, the kid was born. I was like 28, 29, yeah, I probably did come to know the Lord. But
see, that's how people can turn you off, and they may not even realize that.
Right, so we have to be like, you know, really, that's why it's so delicate, especially when you're dealing with kids and teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be very delicate on how you deal with them, because they do get offended and they take it out completely on the church, you know, depending on how strong they are. So that's how my youngest daughter is, Shawnee. She, you know, after she went away to college, she was done. She said she didn't like convent. She didn't like the church. Everybody was so judgmental. And it took her a while, really, a long time. I went out to Temple, went to Philly to try to get her into a church. We went even to visit a church that somebody had recommended. Oh, no, she was done. She was done because she said that so many people had said negative things to her.
you know, but she never came to me about, you know, but she held it inside. So, you know, which you know, but a tear was the opposite. Yeah. But a tear was the opposite. She didn't care what people said. And let me tell you something. Tell you how much a tear didn't care what people said. A tear used to wear to church whatever she felt like. If she wanted to wear a mini skirt, she wore a mini skirt, okay? And I said, Tia. So she was going to the church, and everybody was always whispering about what my child had on, okay? Mm-hmm. And but it didn't stop her. She still worshiped. Some people would be, well, at least these kids are here. You know, you should praise God that they're here, you know, here in the church. Right. And sitting up there whispering and talking about them and whatever, but that never swayed a Tia because she remained on the choir. She, you know, she started. She definitely grew up in church, and she still does. Mm-hmm. God is good. Amen. Amen. So, well, that's Solomon's recommendation. That's why we're pushing our children's Bible study class because you're right. Children should know the Lord from early in life.
Really
and then the last section of his, which is 12, verses 1 through 7, we have this section closes with the exquisite allegory, which is a story of old age. You know, Solomon, the preacher concludes that the good life is only attained by revering God. Those who fall to take God and his will seriously into account are those who fail to take God and his will seriously into account are doomed to lives of foolishness and futility. Life will not wait upon the solution of all its problems. Nevertheless, real meaning can be found by looking not under the sun, but beyond the sun to the one shepherd. And that's in 12:11. Okay, so let's go to the scriptures. So chapter 7 in the, I'm looking at the commentary in the Ryrie Bible, and it just sort of like sums up chapter 7 as a series of proverbial sayings. Solomon offers counsel concerning wisdom and folly. So a lot of it was kind of, I really like chapter 7. really like chapter 7 a lot. I think one of the scriptures that that I really had to look up was chapter 7:1, because I wasn't too sure about what he meant. And chapter 7:1 says, a good name is better than a good ointment. This is in the New American Standard Bible. And the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. Do you have another Bible version to read it in? Sister Barbara.
You want to hear it?
Yes, please.
This is from the message rather. It says, a good reputation is better than a fat bank account. Your death date tells more than your birth date.
Right. And the way that the commentary explains it, it says that the two parts of the verse go together. The day of death is better if one has a good name for himself during life so that his life has a continuing influence. What do you think about that?
Say that again, the day of death?
It says that this verse, verse 1, the two parts of the verse goes together. The day of death is better if one has made a good name for himself during life so that his life has a continuing influence. Like what you did during the time that you lived, you know, has a continuing influence. It has an impact. You were able to make a positive impact on someone.
Well, that's nice, except you're not there to see it. So, you know, it would be nice if you could know all of that while you're still alive. But it's good that you do leave a legacy. That's sweet. But it doesn't help you. You don't know what's being said.
Well, where would it help you?
It would help you to hear all of this good stuff while you're living. Once you're dead,
right, so what does God say when you die? I mean, what does he look at? Those are the things that God looks at, right? When he separates the rewards, when we get our rewards in heaven. The rewards in heaven are based on what we did here on earth. So it does correlate to that.
The only thing is that we're talking about your reputation in life. That's different from what you get from God in heaven. So I'm saying your reputation on earth after you're dead and gone is nice. You know, who wouldn't want to be talked about, you know, well spoken of once you're dead and gone? But it would behoove others to speak of you well while you still have life so that you can know. Like they say, give me my flowers while I can smell them. You'll talk about how good I was after I'm gone and don't know, you know, how you feel about me.
Yeah, but you know, there's a lot of times that we do good and we'll never get acknowledged for the good that we do. But we're doing good. What is your purpose? But what is your purpose for doing good? That's the question that we ask ourselves as Christians. What is your purpose for doing good? Is it to get your accolades here? Or is it to get your accolades in heaven?
Well,
Because, I mean, it's true. Some people do what they do here on earth to get their accolades. You know, they do a lot of busy stuff.
Let me just say that we don't get to heaven by our works. It's not about our works. You know, many people think, oh, I've done this, I've been good here. It's not about your works.
No, it's not. But that's not the part that I'm talking about. Because, you know, right, heaven is a free gift from God. You know, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have eternal life. But once we get to heaven, because faith without works is empty. So we don't get there by works. We get there by our belief, our faith in Jesus Christ. But once we get to heaven, right, once we get there, that's when God is going to separate the gold from the, you know, that's when he's going to separate you. Exactly. And that's what you did on earth. Did you do it to glorify God or did you do it to glorify yourself? And that's what God is going to judge us for once we get to heaven.
So are you asking a question?
No.
I'm just making a statement
about the good day, this verse, you know, when I figured out what it meant.
Many people don't know that it's not about your works. I know I heard Muhammad Ali spoken of that, you know, he did so many good things and he'll surely go to heaven. And I wish I could have said, but it's not about what you did like that. It's not. You know, you were a philanthropist.
Right.
That's fantastic. But that's not going to get you into heaven.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
So some people don't know. But we know.
And Jehovah's Witnesses believe that they have to work their way into heaven.
Well,
you know, that's why they're so busy with knocking on doors and getting, you know, it's like they do part of their, they believe that your work is what gets you into heaven. So
okay.
You are absolutely right. There are some people who really, really believe that because they don't know it.
Some who don't know. They don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to get them.
Any other out of the scriptures that we read, was there any scriptures that stood out for you,
Mother? Did that happen?
I had written it down. It wasn't a lot I wrote down. Let me get my book a minute.
Okay.
What are you getting your book? I just want to say I wrote from 4 to the end. What was that? 4 to 18.
What chapter?
One of those stood out for me.
What chapter? Oh, chapter 7.
Chapter
7. 4 to 29.
All right.
Okay,
not that the first three didn't mean anything, but I found 4 through 29 quite outstanding of chapter 7.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree.
Well, what stood out to me, too, was chapter 7. It's 11 to 14, 15 to 27.
Okay, so why don't we just read it from 4?
From
4.
A wise person thinks a lot about death, like you said, while a fool thinks only about having a good time. Better to be criticized by a wise person than to be praised by a fool. A fool's laughter is quickly gone, like thorns. Let me see. What did I go to 14? I went from 11 to 4. I sure do have it here. Okay. A fool's laughter is quickly gone, like thorns crackling in a fire. This is also meaningless. Extortion turns wise people into fools, and bribes corrupt the heart. Finishing is better than starting. Patience is better than pride. Control your temper, for anger labels you a fool. Don't look for the good old days. This is not wise. Wisdom is even better when you have money. But
I'm sorry, Mother, stop. Mother, wait. When I read 10, I said, well, Trump needs to read that. Talk about bring the United States back. I said, he needs to read that.
Bring back the United States the way it was.
That's his main saying. Go ahead, Mama.
Good old days, right?
Uh huh.
When you think of the United, when you think of, I mean, like last year, you wasn't even thinking of the pandemic, you know?
Right.
That's true. The wisdom is even better when you have money. That's what they say. Wisdom is even better when you have money, but both are a benefit as you go through life. Wisdom and money can get you almost anything, but only wisdom can save your life. Accept the way God does things, for who can straighten what he has made crooked? I thought that was really good. Well, God makes it crooked. You can't straighten it out. Even prosperity, enjoy prosperity while you can. But when hard times strike, realize that both come from God. So hard times come from God and prosperity come from God. Remember, nothing is certain in this life.
And my pastor needs to hear that, because he said God is only love.
Yeah, but it's a lot of other things involved too. God is love, but there's a lot of other things involved too, you know, besides love. You know,
he destroys things too.
He sure do.
I know he's loved and he's loving and faithful and all of that, but he can kill some folk. You know, they mess him.
That's right. He sure can.
He's done it before.
I always remember them people that he opened up the ground and ground swallowed them up.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Sapphira and
the men.
You know when they were holding back the money.
Yeah.
Disobedience.
That's what a youth is. That's what a youth is.
You know. So in other words, God have more than one side. He has wrath. You know? Wrath. So it says in 15, I have seen everything in this meaningless life, including the death of good young people and the long life of wicked people. So don't be too good or too wise. Why destroy yourself? On the other hand, don't be too wicked either. Don't be a fool. Why die before your time? Pay attention to these instructions, for anyone who fears God will avoid both extremes. I thought that was really good.
Right.
One wise person is stronger than 10 leading citizens of a town. Not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. That's true. Don't eavesdrop on others. You may hear your servant curse you. For you know how often you yourself have cursed others.
Oh, goodness.
I don't know if you want me to keep on going.
No, that's we could go on to 8, but those are some good words of counseling. Counsel. Okay. What did you find in 8, Sister Barbara? That stood out for you.
8:1-14.
Right. So 8:1 is, who is like the wise man and who knows the interpretation of a matter? A man's wisdom illumines him and causes his stern face to beam. And that's a parable. It says, who is like a wise man? Who is equal? This is the commentary. The incomparable excellence of the wise man is seen in the fact that no one in his equal or understands a matter as well as he does, which means it illumines him, makes him a source of a blessing to others.
Mm-hmm.
And then 9, you said 9
to 17.
Let me read
it from
the
message.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It says, all this I observed as I tried my best to understand all that's going on in this world. As long as men and women have the power to hurt each other, this is the way it is. One faith for everybody. This is 10. One time I saw wicked men given a solemn burial in holy ground. When the people returned to the city, they delivered flowery eulogies. And in the very place where wicked acts were done by those very men, more smoke indeed. Because the sentence against evil deeds is so long in coming, people in general think they can get away with murder.
Mm-hmm.
12-13. Even though a person sins and gets by with it hundreds of times throughout a long life, I'm still convinced that the good life is reserved for the person who fears God, who lives reverently in his presence, and that the evil person will not experience a good life no matter how many days he lives. They'll all be as flat and colorless as a shadow, because he doesn't fear God.
Yeah.
14. Mm-hmm. Here's something that happens all the time and makes no sense at all. Good people get what's coming to the wicked, and bad people gets what's coming to the good. I tell you, this makes no sense. It's smoke. So I'm all for just going ahead and having a good time, the best possible. The only earthly good men and women can look forward to is to eat and drink well and have a good time. Compensation for the struggle for survival these few years God gives us on earth. And finally, 16-17, When I determined to load up on wisdom and examine everything taking place on earth, I realized that if you keep your eyes open day and night without even blinking, you'll still never figure out the meaning of what God is doing on this earth. Search as hard as you like. You're not going to make sense of it. No matter how smart you are, you won't get to the bottom of it. Amen.
That's right. No one knows, right? No one knows.
Just stay with your eyes open, you know, as long as you can.
Yes.
You'll never understand what God is doing.
That's
Nobody
right.
knows.
That's right.
Thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways.
Not our ways. Amen.
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 Yeah. And then chapter 9, that was also, you know, chapter 9, one to five. Or actually, yeah, I mean, everything just flows together, so it's hard to pick out, you know, you just can't pick out the one verse, but, you know, chapters 9 through 6, chapter 9, verses 2 to 6, this Bible sums it up by saying, regardless of how haphazard the events of life may appear to be, all men face certain fate, which is death. So,
mm-hmm.
two, it is the same for all. There is one fate for the righteous and for the wicked, for
yeah.
the good, for the clean, and for the unclean, for the man who offers a sacrifice and for the one who does not sacrifice. As the good man is, so is the sinner. As the swearer is, so is the one who is afraid to swear. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that there is one fate for all men. But, I mean, here we can actually see, because when I was reading this, I was, you know, you can see the contrast to how, because he didn't know about Jesus and eternal life.
That's what I was
thinking.
Because
there's not one faith, right? There's not one fate for the evil and for those who accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. But you know, God is progressive, and at this point in Solomon's life, he had no clue what eternal life, what Christ meant, right? So
that's probably one of the
mm-hmm.
reasons why I kept saying it's meaningless. You know, it's like no hope.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, he just, you know, to say the good and the evil, we all going to end up in the same place. And I mean, I guess that was the thought process in his time, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus hadn't come on.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus hadn't come on the scene yet. So.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, even now, I mean, we know that those who were righteous to the Lord back then, even though they didn't have Jesus, but the fact that they were obedient and righteous, that they
mm-hmm.
will have eternal life. But, you know, at this point, while he was going through this, he didn't know what God had in store for his people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what I, you know, my thoughts on chapter 9. Anybody else?
I'm just going to say that even though he didn't know Jesus, what he was saying was right in a sense that we all die. You know,
right.
Eternal life is really, you can't compare it. But whether you're good or you're bad, you're still going to die. That's one thing that we do
mm-hmm.
have in common. What happens
mm-hmm.
after that? But as far as this living body, this living being, we have one
right.
faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so it says in part, just want to read part of 19, between 1 and 3, it says, anything's possible, one fate for everybody, righteous and wicked, good people, bad people, the nice, the nasty, worshipers and non-worshipers, committed and uncommitted. I find this outrageous. The worst thing about living on this earth, that everyone's in one faith. Is it any people are obsessed with evil? Is it any wonder that people go crazy, right and left? Life leads to death. That's it. And that's, of course, if you don't have belief in Jesus Christ and that you can have eternal life.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And then I just wanted to press the conclusion. It's almost 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything that stood out in 10 and 11 for you guys?
10, I did 5 to 20. 11, I didn't put anything. 12, I didn't put anything. I guess the whole thing, really. It was so many good things said.
It's a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's very, very, very interesting to read.
Yes.
And, of course, 12, the conclusion, 9 to 14. You want to read that in the Message Bible, Barbara, please?
9 to 12. 9 to 14.
Chapter 12, 9 to 14,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
It says, the final word, besides being wise himself, the quester also taught others knowledge. He weighed, examined, and arranged many proverbs. The quester did his best to find the right words and write the plain truth. The words of the wise prod us to live well. They're like nails hammered home, holding life together. They are given by God, the one shepherd. But regarding anything beyond this, dear friend, go easy. There's no end to the publishing of books, and constant study wears you out, so you're no good for anything else. The last and final word is this: fear God. Do what he tells you. And that's it. Eventually, God will bring everything that we do out into the open and judge it according to its hidden intent, whether it's good or evil. And
that's it.
And that gets
it.
Back to
Amen.
You saying doing the works. God is going to judge the intent of the
mm-hmm.
works.
Amen.
Did you do it for good, or did you do it to accomplish some evil that will maybe benefit you, but it's going to hurt somebody else?
That's right. That's right.
What was
right.
the intent?
That's it. What was the intent? Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, so that concludes Ecclesiastes. We're going to move into the Songs of Solomon.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to the Songs of Solomon. So, Mother, you want to pray us out? Because you haven't been praying. Mr. Chris. Yes. Pray us out, Mother, please.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Father God, we just want to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor that's for you in the name of Jesus, Father God. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful lesson that Lady Nadine brought today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the clarity and how we were able with the Holy Spirit to take each thing apart in Ecclesiastes, because you told us that we should study to show ourselves a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Hallelujah.
You told us about studying your word, dear Heavenly Father, meditating on your word. Father God, we just thank you for it, Father God, because when we read these words, we get to know you more better. We get to know what happened in the Old Testament, Father God, and how the interaction with people, like kings with you, like King Solomon, dear Heavenly Father.
Yes.
We're getting a picture of you through them, Father God.
Yes.
The different things that happened in the Old Testament. We thank you for it. We thank you for the New Testament. We thank you for Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for the
leading
of the Holy Spirit, Father God.
Yes,
and
God.
As we were reading, we realized, Father God, that they didn't have Jesus.
Ooh.
You, that's the gift that we have, they didn't have it. So they saw things in a different light. They didn't have the hope that we have.
Yes,
and we thank you for
hallelujah.
That hope, Father God, in the mighty name
thank
of Jesus.
You,
that no matter what we're going through, good or bad, Father God, that you're always there in the midst. You never leave us nor forsake us. You see us begging bread.
Thank
we thank you for it, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.
I'm going to play this weekend, Saturday, in Rochester. And I would like to send you the link, Nadine, if you can. If
absolutely.
It's supposed to be about 6 o'clock.
Oh,
and
that's perfect. Yeah, everything is done. All my activities are finished by then.
Okay. It's through Event Link. And they want you to donation. So, Mother, I know you might not be able to do it, so I won't include you, but it's a play called Father Where I'm not sure if you saw that one before. I think you did. I think you saw that one at a Restoration.
Restoration, right.
Yeah,
right.
I think you saw it, you and your daughter.
Yes.
But anyway, I'll send it to you, Lady Nadine.
Please. Please.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
I'm excited. I'm excited already.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's wonderful.
As soon as I get it, I'll be Friday. We'll have it.
Okay.
I don't know. All right. Thank
All
you.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Please don't forget. All right, guys. Love you both.
You.
Love
right.
everybody
love
on
you
the
all.
Line. God bless you. Have a blessed week. And see you tomorrow.
You God willing.
Pastor, God willing. Amen.
Amen. Love you, radio listeners. Good night.
Love you.
Good night.
Shalom.
Shalom.